Okay, welcome back. It is another episode of the Kickback Podcast. Gav, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, buddy. Listen, I'm under the weather, man. This whole want to go 70 to 60 and 70 and rainy, and I thought this was summer. I didn't know this is the only thing I'm missing from fall right now is me being at a place I don't want to be at right now. Hey, but man, how are you?
I mean, I'm right there with you, but we're here. We're toughing it out.
Hey, real quick, we had a fun Thursday.
We did. we certainly did.
Everybody killed.
Yeah, good old. It's Kildare's.
Listen. I agree.
Dude, anybody that is from Westchester. We'll tell you it's Kildare's. I don't know where this whole Kilds label came from.
You gotta wait for one half of the program.
No, but seriously, Gab.
I'm with you.
I know your cousin well. What is he trying to call?
He calls it Kildare's.
Kildare's.
I gotta get him on here.
Yeah, Trent calls it Kildare's. I know a lot of other people from his crop of Westchester people, they call it Kildare's.
What?
It's Kildare's.
Listen. To the outcomers, it's Kill. Do you say Barnaby's or Barnes? Because that's been
either or. I hear people call it both.
Okay.
And Barnaby's is a Delaware County thing. So, like, I hear people from Delaware County, some people call it Barnaby, some people call it Barnes. I think in Westchester, people call it Barnes more. Yeah. But, yeah, I hear either or with that.
Barnes, Barnaby's, don't matter.
Yeah, Ryan's Pub is just Ryan's.
Ryan's.
Do we have any others we got to get out the way?
Saloon 151 is just Saloon.
Yeah.
Damn, what you call the numbers, the hell with them. Oh, and the sidebar. The sidebar.
Wait, is that still open?
The sidebar?
Yeah.
Didn't you used to go there?
No, you're thinking Square Bar.
That's what it was. Square Bar. I think the sidebar is still open.
Okay. I was curious. Anywho.
More to the point, we had a fun night.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. But I don't think it was as fun as game four of the Eastern Conference Finals last night with the Pacers. Took a 3-1 series lead over the Knicks with a 130-121 victory. It was a really good game. What was it, 13 lead changes in the first half?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man. I said it in this one group chat I'm in the other week. Regardless if they get to the finals, regardless if they win or lose. This to me is a before we kind of get into the nitty gritty. This Pacers team is a team of destiny for me, and I'm not saying it's a fluke. You know, this is their second. This is back to back conference finals appearances. But man, everything it just seems to go right for them at the perfect time. And Gavin, I'll tell you what the NBPA does not look too good right now calling Tyrese Halliburton the most overrated player in the league.
No, they don't. No, they do not. And I think that only comes from the man was on a stacked Olympic roster.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr said it best. Yo, I'm playing an NBA champion on the bench. And he ain't get no minutes. And I'm not. And he's talking about Jason Tatum in that regard and all that. So – overrated. Can we stop, Cleveland? You look dumb, Channing, at Tyrese Halliburton. You look really bad. But, Dom, to get into the game itself, this series alone has already been one of the best series of all. I mean, I think last series, last rounds, Denver Nuggets and Thunder was a pretty good one that went to seven. I think this series may top that just because of how four games it went. I mean, Dom, we were here to start with game one. And for the Pacers to come back down from, 20 or 15-plus in the final quarter and the win, and then to kind of just just call what it is, BTA in game two at the Garden.
Yep.
To go home and to drop one. Now, there's stats of history that says the Pacers are never good on Indy 500 day. I mean, don't take it with ticket or leave it if you care. And they're never good on game threes, even back to the Cleveland series they lost in game three. So I think it was kind of like given, never going to lose. But this Pacers team is a team of destiny, Europe, right? And it starts with the guy, Tyrese Haliburton. I mean, the man had a 30-point trip dub last night.
I read it from NBA University's Twitter this morning. First player in the history of the postseason with 30-plus points, 15-plus assists, 10-plus rebounds, and zero turnovers.
That was a big part, zero turnovers.
I mean, you can't get a more outstanding definition of winning basketball than that. And, I mean, what's really stood out to me, the old adage is – I should say it stood out to me. What I find interesting – and it got bucked last night, was the old adage is, well, you know, a series doesn't start until the road team wins a game. This series, it was the opposite. The series may not have started until the home team won a game, and that was the case last night. You and I were texting back and forth going into that game. You know, well, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think with, you know, how the Pacers will respond. To me, if the Pacers come out and they're swinging and they get that thing and they get this thing done, which they did, I think they kind of knew, I think they knew they let game three slip away. And, you know, but for the Knicks, it was an opportunity to, you know, continue to throttle momentum to their side. And, you know, the Pacers got it done. I think with this Knicks team, a lot of people have questions about, you know, how Tibbs and the rotations and such. Josh Hart goes to the bench, which I think was a very selfless move on his part. Has it paid off? I mean, I think that their issues kind of extend beyond just one guy coming off the bench who's still getting starter minutes. So the Pacers are now a win away from the NBA Finals. And talk to me, how do you feel about that?
Well, I just want to go back. It's crazy. The one game the Knicks won, and I was texting back and forth with you and another kind gentleman. And I said, it's crazy how the game the Knicks won, they used their bench.
Yeah.
And granted, we know, Dom, you told me all the time, when you get around this time of year, you normally got 8 trustworthy guys that you sub in and out. Yep. Well, the problem with the Knicks is they do, but they get ran starter minutes. Like, I'm just looking. OG played the whole game basically. He had 40 minutes. Cat had 37. Mitchell came off. You know, he starts now, but he had 19, which doesn't make sense to me because you make the switch, and now he's playing less minutes, it feels like. And then you got Jalen Brunson with 37. Mikal 34, Josh Hart still played 36 minutes. So at that point, you might as well just keep Josh Hart on the floor. I think it was just an effort to make a change or to make something, to gather a spark. The spark is you're playing against a team, one that I think doesn't get a lot of respect as they deserve, they should get.
Definitely.
Also, two, you're playing against a team that their bench works and they're well. I mean, you got TJ McConnell. He comes off the bench, and granted, it's only like 7 points a game, but he comes off the bench and gives you those crucial 7 points, and they're impactful 7 points that he gives you. Then you got guys like Obi Toppin who come out and rebound the ball. They play solid defense, not great defense, solid defense, and he makes the explosive plays, the plays to get your team motivated and going. The Knicks don't have that sometimes. Sometimes that the stars have to generate their offense, and they had to sustain at home. But in the game four where they won, where Tom Thibodeau goes to his bench and you see more guys starting to play, you say, hold on. The bench won that game. Actually, the Jalen Brunson didn't win that game. The bench won that game. I mean, last night was back to normalcy for Brunson and company. He had 31. OG had 22. Cat had 24. And Michael had 17. And Hart had 12. But if you look at, if you sum it all together, you're just like, yo – you need more consistency from your bench. You can't go to one game. And you got to think, some of these dudes have played over a month and a half either. That's another problem.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, to touch on Jalen Brunson real quick, and I started going back through the tape on Synergy this morning. You know, offensively, yeah, he was back to himself. But man, defensively, I mean, this Knicks team was their ball pressure, and it starts with him. Not great.
No, not
great. But as for that Pacers bench, one guy that really stood out to me. And I liked him in college. Benedict Mathurin.
Yeah.
20. Aaron Nesmith also contributed with 16 on a spring.
With a bum leg. Yeah, with a bum leg. Yeah.
So, and, you know, we talked about him. I believe we talked about him going into this series on the last pod. But, and he's, you know, not that he doesn't come off the bench, but 30 from Pascal Siakam, including 11 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, 39 in game two, by the way. He started out hot.
Yeah. This is a team that is firing on all cylinders right now. And, you know, I think at this point, you know, which I think they will, get it done in game five and advance to the NBA finals. I'm done with the Pacers have no shot. A lot of people said it coming into this series, and clearly they were proven wrong. Now they're on the verge of an NBA Finals appearance. I think that, you know, whether they see OKC or Minnesota, probably OKC. You know, I don't want to see the OKC in five, OKC in four talk. You know, this is a team that deserves. I'm not saying that couldn't happen, but this team deserves their respect and a hell of a job done by Rick Carlisle as well.
Well, to add to your point, I think if you make it to you're the final 14 standing, everybody has a shot.
Yes.
I hate this notion that if this was like round one or the play-in, and then you went, no, this team was a high seed. This was not a play-in team that is here. No. None of these teams are play-in teams that are here. They won fair and square, and they had been beating people. Now, if you look at the Cleveland series, you say, well, Garland was this, Garland was that. They still dealt with Donovan Mitchell. I don't like excuses. There's no excuse for this one right here. If anyone that's not a believer in this Pacers team and down, I'm not saying we weren't believers. I think I had Knicks at six just because the Knicks are tough out. And I will be I'll come out. I'll be a man and admit it. Did I overlook the Pacers just a little bit? Only I didn't overlook them off talent. I just overlooked them because of, yo, you threw them out last year.
Yeah. You know, we both had the Knicks. We both had the Knicks. You know, but and to go back to your point with the Cleveland series, that's why I say, look, this is a team of destiny to some degree. Everything that they've needed to work in their favor has worked in their favor. You know,
go back to game one.
Yeah.
Literally, seriously, no. But go back to game one. Aaron Nesmith hits 7 threes, drops 30 points. Tyrese Halliburton hits the clutch. I mean, for the line, damn, it would be cool if that was a three. But the fact that they were able to come back down, and I was talking to somebody, and maybe this was you. Why would you keep shooting threes if you're up 17? I never understood that. I don't get it. Cat chucking from half court and airborne, which that needs to stop. I understand you have range, but do you see what I'm talking about? Cat's pulling from like 30. And like heat check. Like, I'm like, dude, you're like 1 for 5 on threes. Why are you heat checking your shot right now? That's not it. That's not it. I do like the fact that he's taking more jump shots because that's something that he didn't start off doing in the playoffs. But I think in order, you might have to get back down low a little bit more or move in just a little bit. I know you get the long three, but you're also hurting your team. There was a point in last night's game where I think it was like 115 to 120. It was close or something. Or like 110. It was a close game. And you fired a shot from damn near 30 and missed. And even Tips was like, why? That is stuff like that. And Dom, I want to point out, to about the Pacers real quick. Consistency. You know what you're going to get from all three guys. Absolutely. All four guys, I should say. I'm sorry. The fact that Nesmith came out and gave you 16 with a hurt sprained ankle, Pascal gave you 30, Tyrese is playing a villain like we said he had to be. Damn well good coach team. I'll be honest. I think the Pacers are going to go. It will be surprising if the Knicks somehow make it to seven. It'll be surprising.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
The better team, the most physical team is New York, but the better team is in Indiana.
Well, and the other thing too, you know, this Pacers team, what really stands out to me about them schematically and style wise is they wear you down. You know, they are an excellent transition team. They had 22 fast break points last night. You know, they play with depth and transition. They're great at getting out in front of the ball. They're great at getting early paint touches. They're great at playing off. Yeah, they're great at playing off of pitches and other DHO actions in early offense. You know, and make or miss their running. This is a team that you know, when they're firing on all cylinders and they're playing at their tempo, it's a thing of beauty to watch. And that's a credit to Carlisle.
But that's the scary thing. You got a slow-paced Knicks team versus a fast-paced Pacers team. And the moment they want you to play to their style. The Knicks don't play fast. I mean, and this is another topic of discussion. I think Bresler holds the ball a little too long at the start of the clock. It'd be like 7 seconds, and now we're starting to swing the ball around. And so that's not how it works. This is almost like watching James Harden on the Sixers dribble the ball out until 5 seconds left there. He swings it to Tyrese. Tyrese swings it to Joel, and Joel flails his arms up for fast. Like, that's not winning basketball. Time and time again, we've seen that's not winning basketball. Does it work in key moments? Yes. But Jalen Brunson's not doing what he was doing against the Celtics. Jalen Brunson looks tired. I'll say what it is. He looks tired. I'm seeing a lot more Cameron Payne now than you normally would see in series one and two. And especially game one, now you're seeing more campaign. And to the other side, to the Pacers side, I just want to say real quick, if you look at this Pacers team, they're all young guys, right? The system, they all, granted, only one person played more than 30, or sorry, two people played more than 35 minutes last night. Mm-hmm. And that was the two highest scorers of the game, your two all-stars. If you look at the Knicks, Dom, I pulled the Knicks up right here, it's three players that play over 35 minutes, and only the two people that play over 35, three people that play over 35 minutes. One only scored 12, the other one only scored 24, and the other one only scored 22. And other guys, you gotta swing. You just gotta swing and get more people involved because I think it helps out. The Knicks will be fine if they play more people.
Yeah, you know, they're certainly gonna have to work some things out over. I should say work some things out. They're certainly going to have to evaluate how they kind of manage that roster, how they manage those rotations over the course of this offseason. You know, if I'm Tibbs, that's something that's high on my eval list at the end of the year. And look, Tom Thibodeau, in my opinion, is an excellent coach.
This
is kind of what you sign up for when you hire him. You know, your guys are going to wear themselves down playing big chunk minutes. You know, he doesn't go deep into his bench. So, to some degree, this is also par for the course, in my opinion.
Also, what's the point in making this adjustment, right? I want to read you the stat. First off, the Knicks, you can't turn over the ball as much time as you did. You had 17 turnovers to their 11. So that's also, no one wins against all that. 44 points in the paint to their 50 points in the paint. And your switch was Mitchell Robinson now is in the starting lineup, correct?
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like that made a difference whatsoever. Now, granted, it's not all Mitchell Robinson to stop everything that comes to paint. I mean, Cat's what, 6'10", 6'11", and zone, so arguably 7 foot if you want to argue that. My biggest, you're not going to win games have a 70 turnovers, and you're not going to win games with 50 points in the paint. And it's crazy because the Knicks shot less threes. It was 28 to the 32, and they shot higher percentage in the less threes taken. Where the Pacers shot 32 and only made 40% of the threes. So, I don't know. It's interesting. The Pacers shot 51% for the floor last night, the Knicks 46. If you want to get into all that, Dom, you can. I just look at it as the move you made is not paying off. If you go back to game, I mean, if you're still going to give up points in the paint, why make, you might as well go back to what was working. Because I think Josh Hart being out there was a better play than Mitchell Robinson and Cap, you know what I'm saying? Because they can't work together at the same time.
No, at least not right now.
Not right now. And maybe that's something you got to experiment in, like, the regular season.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the lineup-specific stats, but I'd be curious to see what the on and off of those two together looks like.
In game two, the Pacers had 48 points to change to their 44, right? Mm-hmm. So guarding the paint as a whole has just been an issue. For a good defensive team, the New York Knicks, who preaches defense, the coach is defense-oriented. But for some reason, the paint is buy a bucket and get another one free. I don't get it. I really don't get it. You play better defense versus Boston, and they're a 3-point, and they're live and die by the three. So I don't understand it. I don't.
I'm right there with you. Over to the West. Tonight, another closeout situation. OKC is up 3-1 on the Timberwolves. Personally, I think OKC gets it done. Tell you what, these young guys they got out west are growing up fast, Gav.
Mm-hmm. And it's great for basketball too.
It absolutely is. Give me some overall thoughts where you're at. We both had OKC winning this series. I believe I had them in six.
I had them.
Yeah, you had them in seven. So are you surprised at all? I mean, with how good this OKC team is, I feel like it's difficult to have those feelings.
If you wonder why I'm surprised at, if you want my honest opinion, I'm just surprised at how Ant Edwards has played this series. He had two great games. He had a great game three and game four. Game two or three. Game four, he only had 16 points. Now, he's been in foul trouble here and there throughout the whole series, so you don't have to do it so much. But that's been my major shock. But, I mean, there's no surprise. I mean, the Thunder are the better team. They have more depth. They have more better young guys to play well together. This is the more advanced Brooklyn Nets team from a couple years ago, where the difference is D'Angelo Russell was traded there. Shea was traded there, but developed there more than he did where anywhere else was, if you get what I'm saying. So, like, you got guys like Jalen Williams, who that's the X factor we said coming into the series. Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren. Jalen Williams had 34, Chet had 21 and 7. And Shea, the MVP, by the way, had almost a triple-double, 40, 10, and 9. There's nothing you could do about that. My biggest thing, takeaway is how ugly will tonight get? Now, granted, that game got close at the end late. It was 121-126. This is over. And it's because Ant doesn't have enough firepower on the other side. And for crying out loud, can we just talk about this? Julius Randle had 5 points. He put 28 minutes and 5 points. And I'm a Julius Randle fan. I don't think the guy is hot garbage, but I don't think he's that great as ever makes him to be. That's your number two with 5 points. And I almost say an elimination game, but you're fighting for your playoff life.
5 points and only 7 shots. And Ant only had 13 as well.
And this is coming off where
16, but 13 shots. Shot distribution on the Timberwolves end has, in my opinion, has not been great.
I mean, your highest scorers of the game were people who you won't expect it from. Nikhil Harry, 23, 21 for DiVincenzo, and 22 for McDaniels. That can't happen.
Yeah, so to your point, those three combined scored 66 points. They their true shooting percentage was 78%. They were 13 to 22 from three. Oh, and defensively, they stepped up, combining for 7 steals. So yeah, you know Ant and Randle combined for a hair over 20, but those three are about 3 times that. That's not a formula for success at this point in the year.
I'll give you another key to failure. They got 21 turnovers last other game. You outscored them in the paint, which is good, because I mean, it's just Isaiah Hartenstein down there. No disrespect to Chip, but you're not trying to really get down there with the big guys, even though you're 7 foot. We'll get into it. You're not going to win a game with 21 turnovers. We just said it for the Knicks. You're not going to win a game with 17 turnovers. You're damn sure not going to win a game with 20 turnovers. You have to do better. And it's crazy how Ant and them just talked about taking more shots, and you shoot 13, yeah. And Julius has shot 7.
And I believe that's I believe he also shot 13 in game one.
He did.
That's a little ironic.
He did. Yeah. So you have two great games back to back. One game he had almost 40, I believe. And I think that's the game where they took it to the first game in Minnesota, game 3, I believe. But come on, man. I mean, like that's not gonna win you basketball. Your star cannot take the less shots, and there's no way your role players have more than your two all-stars. That's all I'm gonna say. Chris Finch has to figure, and we talk about great with Coach Chris Finch. I have a whole new theory. Get Ant the hell out of Minnesota. Get him out.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be thinking that after tonight. You know, that's certainly a conversation that
he traded away his only real help. And I like Julius Randle, but I really do. I told you this yesterday on the phone. I said this to you. I said, the worst thing the Timberwolves did, if you were going to trade one of your big men, you should have got rid of Rudy Gobert. Defensive centers are easy to come. Look at Isaiah Hartenstein. Look what he does. He does it pretty well. You pick Rudy Gobert, who's offensively challenged, defensively great, but Dom, I'll be honest. If we talk about it, at the moment Rudy Gobert has to step onto a 3-point line, it's barbecue chicken, and he's not guarding anybody. So, where at least Cat can give you a little more defense on the perimeter, y'all chose the wrong person. Great for New York, bad for y'all, because now it's where you were getting that 20 from Cat, and you were getting like that 17. What the hell happened to Naz Reid? Naz Reid was next man up. Naz Reid was supposed to be like that. All of a sudden, Naz Reid gets into a shoving match with Isaiah Stewart, and he's no longer the same. Like, Naz Reid had 11 points in 23 minutes. That was your guy last year. That was the guy that helped you get past the Thunder. I mean, not the Thunder, sorry. That helped you get past the Nuggets. Where is he at this year? Nowhere to be found. They got free Anthony Edwards. They got to get him the hell out. Because you're not going to get much for Rudy Gobert. He should have did that last year. Yeah. It's kind of hard to replace that now. You could have replaced that last year. You should have got, like I said, you should have got rid of Rudy, and you should have kept Cat if you want to go for defense. And then your only offense was Julius Randle, who's inconsistent. Great scorer, but inconsistent.
So you have OKC wrapping up tonight.
It's over. Over.
For those that couldn't put two and two together out of everything you just said.
my fault, y'all. I got like I'm an Ant guy, and this
no, thing, go ahead. You got it. I totally get it.
No, but like I apologize if my answer was wrong, but like I'm just pissed because like, oh, this brother last year couldn't be stopped. This brother last year took this team to not this team alone, but took the Nuggets to 7 and beat them. And then he went to Dallas, and we saw what happened. He doesn't have a number two. And the front office goes out and they said, you know what? The number two we're going to give him, we're going to give away his actual true help. His only biggest problem was Cat was inconsistent as hell and wasn't held accountable in Minnesota. And he goes to New York and does the same thing, basically. Just a little more accountability, because I'm pretty sure Tibbs and all those guys hold him accountable. I don't think Cat really listened to Ant like he really did, because I think he viewed Ant as more as a friend, which everybody on the team should be friends. But at some point, too, you have to have a bad guy in that locker room. And Chris Finch goes down with an ACL tear. We're not listening to the behind coach. We're not listening to him. He got no legs. Why would I listen to him? Like I'm just upset because you look at this year. This has not happened. And I know what they're going to do. They're going to take, Ant Edwards got calmed down. Ant Edwards got something to do. Ant Edwards needs help. He needs real help. You want to get this man real? Show him that you go get his favorite, but go get Kevin Durant. Go do something. Go get him real help. Go get him a knot. And no disrespect to Mike Conley, but Mike Conley is old as you know what, Dom. He's not doing it no more. He's not like that. Mike Conley played yesterday. He had in 19 minutes, he had 6 points. That's his point guard. That's his point guard.
Mike Conley's up there.
Mike Conley's up there. And I like Mike Conley. I mad respectful career.
He's had a great career.
especially in Memphis. But this is criminal. This is damn near criminal. I'm not all for the Ant Edwards hate speech. I'm really not. That's why. But yes, to answer your question, Robert Way, it's done tonight. I'm done watching the West.
So we're looking at potentially a Knicks Pacers. I mean, sorry. Oh my goodness, a Pacers Thunder. I got my Blues mixed up. A Pacers Thunder Finals. We will definitely dive into that or whatever the finals matchup may be. You never know what could happen. More. Hey, look, I just don't want to look like the village idiot, you know. I think that we see Pacers Thunder. So we will definitely dive into that more in a full NBA Finals preview pod. That will be done at the conclusion of both conference finals. Gavin, on to the W.
Yup. On to the W we go. Let's talk about it. Paige Buckets broke a record. Dom, you had the record. I gotta find it. I saw it this morning. It was up there. But Paige is off to a great start in her career for the Dallas Wings. She's breaking records. She's bringing everything. But Dom, as I try to find this real quick, I want to throw it to you. Here it is. Sorry. Paige Buckets makes history. She is the first The first overall pick becomes the first player in WNBA history with 60 points and 30 assists through her first five games. That's UConn excellence. I'm not going to say no more. It's UConn excellence. But to stay in the W, some more news for all the Caitlin Clark crazies, because you guys are crazy as all hell. I don't know if you guys are making the game worse. But for the Caitlin Clark fans, she is going to be out for at least a week or two with a calf strain that she suffered recently. There's a chance that means her MVP odds, there's some chances are going they're going to go down a little bit. And I found this a little bit interesting, and I don't know. So the WNBA cannot verify the hateful speech towards Angel Reese when she was on NBA versus Fever. Now, for those who don't know, there was like, Dom, are you aware
of this?
Sorry. For those who don't know, Angel Reese played against Kayla Clark, the long-awaited like superhero villain rivalry. That ultimately, in my honest opinion about the whole rivalry, the two, you guys are turning it outside of basketball and making it worse. If you're not a basketball head, you're making this shit worse. Excuse my language, but it's honest truth. But so anyway, Angel Reese at the free throw line, and monkey noises are appeared to be coming down throughout the arena. You could be heard. Barstool's guy, and yeah, I'm gonna do this down because there's a video. It looks like Barstool guy's David Portnoy was in attendance too, and arguably was kind of did it, you know, did it as well. So WNBA said they cannot verify the comments. I mean, I don't know how you can't verify audio. I mean, if John Boy could figure out the trash can, if John Boy could figure out trash can via editing softwares of glorious dimensions and being able to limit sound, I don't know how you can't verify live audio. Andrew Reese does not owe Fever fans an apology for nothing. Because I'm going to be honest, as a WNBA fan, the one thing I hate about the W is Caitlin Clark's fan base makes the game toxic. It's not that the true Caitlin Clark fans, it's just the other side.
Yeah, I understand that argument.
The other side that's, and it's not even her fans, they're not even real fans. They're just, we don't do politics on this program, but it's all from a political background. And all that stuff, and it just comes from like a hate, like, yo, the W sports, like, just because Angel, someone has Kid Clark doesn't mean everything has to be like CNN, Fox News worthy. It's basketball. Dom, the flagrant foul on Clark to Reese, basketball play.
Yep.
Don't make anything more than it was. It's not. Could we stop doing this? That's why I don't like watching W every day. But outside of that, W is pretty cool so far. It's cool. The Valkyrie are off to a rough start, but that's the newest expansion team. I think Toronto's team enters the league next year, I believe. So that'll be interesting to see. Paige is on an absolute tear. Rekia Jackson and Cameron Brink are set to make returns soon to the court. I know Rickey is out for a little bit with an injury, and I know Brink is still recovering from the ACL surgery that she had. And yeah, it's also a shame because we were robbed of a couple of rookies getting their start this year through the ACL injuries and stuff. So that's all for the W, really. But guys, stop making things outside of basketball, not about basketball.
Yeah, keep the main thing the main thing.
Keep the main thing. Keep basketball basketball.
It sucks that these conversations even have to be had. You know,
that's it does.
Reality.
It does, because and the reason why it sucks is you're trying to grow the game, and these are the conversations that these conversations aren't always a part of the NBA game. So why has it got to be part of the W games? If a hard foul is a hard foul. Now, me, we're basketball heads. We acknowledge when a foul is a little excessive. You better than me. You were a coach. You were on the sideline. On the sideline. You saw it. If a foul is just a foul and it happens on Caitlin Clark, it's not because they hate her. She has the ball. She's going up to make a basketball play, and other basketball plays being made. There was some instance where I was like, yeah, no, that wasn't a basketball play. But come on, y'all. You guys are making the game worse, because not everything that happens to get cards is the end of the world. That's all I wanted to say.
No, I think it's well said. And I mean, you know, look, the reality is the more that the W develops and the more it grows in popularity, unfortunately, these issues are only going to continue to arise. And it sucks. You know, it sucks because it's become very good basketball. The league is entering a time where the level of talent is remarkable. And, you know, they could really, you know, this current crop could take it to, you know, an unprecedented level of success, maybe that the W didn't even imagine at one point. You know, and it just sucks that this is the baggage that comes with it.
And it's not, and you have some very talented young women coming into, like, yo, Juju's about to come set the league again over. Paige is on a storm. There's, you know, others. We still got to wait for Olivia Miles to come out. We're waiting her debut. That's going to be a whole another year from now. I'm pretty sure there's going to be someone coming from another country that's going to be just as good too. You know what sucks about the W, Don, if you don't mind? And I think I said this on the radio show. I'm going to say it again. I could come on this TV right now. Let's say it's 7 o'clock. I could come on this TV right now. I could find an NBA game. I could find an NBA. I could find an NHL game. I could find a football game. Why do I gotta go to off-brand sites to find a WNBA game?
Yeah, you shouldn't have to do that.
I gotta wait till a Saturday to watch a game. I gotta wait till it's just Caitlin Clark to watch a game. What if I want to watch Angel? What if I watch Angel Reese? What if I want to watch Asia Wilson? What if I want to watch Sabrina Ionescu and the defending champs, who haven't been on TV that much at all since they won? And another issue too, I hate this argument with a passion. People don't like to watch the W because of the athleticism gap and all that stuff. It's not about that. Can we stop making it about dunks and stuff and about missed shots? Because you miss them. I mean, I was watching the Denver Nuggets build, you know, brick houses against the Thunder one game. It's not about the missing shots. You're not going to make all your shots. It's not about athleticism. It's about that the young talent that you pump into the league gets kicked out before they can get to play a chance in the game. How in the heck does the Golden State Valkyrie have a whole new team and none of the new players that got drafted are on the team right now, especially one from Maryland, Sion Sellers? That's bad. That's what kills the W, in my opinion. You keep promoting old players. You do. And I'm not trying to say it sound disrespectful. I don't care what Brittany Griner does anymore. I don't. I really don't care. There's players in their late 30s, and they're not old. I'm not trying to call them old, but, like, push the young child. There's one thing the NBA does well, Dom, and you and I both know this. The NBA does well pushing young players. They want you to see Wemby. They want you to see Anthony Edwards. They wanted you to see who is a former – well, not this past year because – the first pick wasn't really, it wasn't really too, not no disrespect to him, but, you know, it wasn't no eye popping. They damn sure want you to see Cooper Flagg this year. Like, they want you to see it.
Right.
No, they don't push the young talent. We're still pushing old names and old narratives. I don't care about no Brittany Griner. I don't care about Skylar Diggins-Smith. I don't care. And I'm not disrespecting their game. I'm just saying, for younger talent, you have a bunch of young people joining the WNBA. Why do we keep kicking out the young people? NIL, Dom. We talk about NIL a lot. NIL has done wonders, and I think the NIL will benefit, or WNBA will benefit from NIL, not because of the financial.
Well, they got a full paycheck.
Well, yeah,
they got a salary.
But I'm going from outside that. But also now your people like my age, they're having them type of people come in. There's gonna be a whole bunch of young black women that love Juju Watkins start going into the WNBA space when she gets it, just because of her being a black woman and how dominant she is. I know Paige brought a whole group of people. You're talking to one of them. She's the reason why I watch women's basketball to as much as I am, and I can have these conversations. So I'm just saying, you said it best, sir. You're in a time where you're growing the game, and the conversations around the game that you're trying to grow aren't great conversations that should be had. We shouldn't be having every time someone has injuries. It shouldn't be about race or anything that happens with King Clark shouldn't be about race. Anything that we shouldn't be seeing our great talent getting kicked out of the league instantly. We shouldn't be having a hard time finding these games. I had to go on Facebook to watch the Aces play.
Sure.
The three.
You shouldn't have to.
I shouldn't have to. You know what? They made it easy. If I had to go on watch Facebook to watch the Aces play, but I can go load up a White Sox game from last year when they were playing the Athletics, and I could watch it on television. And they were two terrible teams. I think they had a combined win of 40 in total. If I could watch them easily and they both suck, I should be able to watch the W easily. That's just my wrestling argument.
No, I 1,000% agree. Speaking of baseball, though, the hometown team has been playing pretty well lately. They are 9-1 in their last 10, now first place in the National League East. I believe they've won now 10 out of their last 11. They beat the Braves last night 2-0. I was down there.
How was it down there?
It was good. I mean, the weather was great.
You didn't get no rain? I know it rained.
No rain. I mean, and you know, it wasn't really chilly either. There was really no breeze. Really, really good pitching from the Phillies in top to bottom. Really good pitching. You know, Spencer Strider didn't throw a bad game either.
No, he didn't. He never does. He just gets locked around
until October.
I would say the Phillies going 9-1 is actually kind of something that went under the radar.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no one's really talking about around here too much. The first thing that comes to mind, you talk Eagles, and then you got the playoffs on both NHL and NBA. So I was aware that the Phillies were 9-1. I would say you were there. Talk to me. Harper takes a 95 mile per hour pitch to the. They said elbow. I watched it look like shoulder. What's your thoughts? Because you were there.
I mean, I don't think it was intentional. Like, I know everybody on social media and sports talk radio locally here is calling for them to retaliate tonight. Personally, I don't think it was. I don't think it was intentional. You know, to me, if you're gonna drill somebody intentionally, that's not the spot to do it. You know, I get it. You know, he's been hit he's been hit by a pitch at least once in the last three games. So you know, I get it's become a recurring thing. I don't like the whole narrative of you know, the Phillies have to send a message to Major League Baseball that they can't do this to Bryce Harper. I mean, to me, like you know, and look, I'm a Phillies fan, but to me, that's kind of soft. If you're that good of a player, if you're that good of a ball club, this shouldn't bother you. Like, come on.
Well, here's my thing, Dom. It's like taking hits out of football. I'm sorry. A projectile object is getting thrown at 100 miles an hour in a direction where there's only but so much of a give you get for rewards. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen, and also too to that last point that it shouldn't happen. Dude, Bryce Harper is not the best baseball player in the game right now. It might
great point. That's a great point. Go ahead.
No, but I'm just saying. But like to say that what because he keeps getting hit, he may be the greatest player in Philadelphia right now, active player because he's the only sport playing. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that this notion that you shouldn't be able to hit Bryce Harper. This is not Tom Brady. It's not Tom Brady taking a swing. Like he signed up just like the rest of us to sign up. You know what I mean, Don? Like if you sign up, like the moment you put your helmet on, you already know what you're getting yourself into. I think if you want to retaliate, that does nothing but just get people ejected and you lose money and you may lose someone for the next game. It would have been different if it was more towards the face, and I'm all for it. Dom, you were there. I agree. I don't think it was intentional. I think in naturality, and a guy with no hands is about to explain this. I think the – buddy, help me. I think it slipped out of his finger somehow. I think it slipped out of his finger somehow. And he, but nah, guys, I'm not going for that. Dom, I don't buy it. I'm not buying it.
So to your point with Bryce Harper not being the best in the league. I think one of the things that as Phillies fans we get carried away with. We get carried away with, and when they signed him now 6 years ago, it was a big deal. That was, you know, one of the top five. Simply put, he was the guy, one of the top five in the majors, you know. He's certainly been passed, and that's not – I don't think that's necessarily an indictment on him. I just think there's been a lot of other guys that have, you know, come through and risen above him. And on top of that, you know, I mean, compared to these other contracts now, $300 million is nothing in some ways.
Whoa, wait a minute, because I could use this thing.
No, I'm not saying. Yeah, I'm not saying it's chump change.
In an organization sense, yes, I get it. In an organization,
but, yeah. In the grand scheme of things, I mean that contract now looks like a steal. But you know, to have this expectation, or have this expectation or preconceived notion of, you know, well, you know, they're out for him, this, that, and the third, and you know, they got to protect him at all costs and send a message to the league. Like I just don't see where that's coming from. I don't understand it. You know, I don't think Bryce Harper is as universally hated as a lot of Phillies fans make him out to be. You know, he's certainly matured a lot since his time coming here. But the bottom line on this situation for me is that there's no need to retaliate. It didn't look intentional. It got him pretty good at in the elbow, but I don't think there's a need to retaliate. On a more positive note, with this baseball team, the pitching's been excellent. We were talking about it before we hopped on air. Zach Wheeler and Jesus Luzardo look like they could be the one-two punch for NL Cy Young candidates. I'll tell you what. You know, I think Zach Wheeler's been snubbed of a Cy Young once, maybe twice since he's been here.
I agree with
that. I think he's definitely deserving. Jesus Luzardo though has pitched just as well. I think he's surpassed some people's expectations. I thought he was a pretty good pickup for them. So, you know, the starting pitching's in good hands. Tell you what, Rob Thompson deserves manager of the year right now, in my opinion, for the National League. You know, they changed their two-strike approach. He's adjusted the lineup when he's had to. And he's got this team playing winning baseball. Now they have to sustain it, of course, but I think right now, you know, that he should be the front runner for National League manager of the year.
I don't disagree with you with Rob Thompson being NL manager of the year. It just caught me by surprise a little bit because you remember how it started, and how it looked. Now, baseball is a marathon, not a sprint. All right. It's not about how you start, it's how you finish. This is we're about to get into that, getting there into the key crucial. Like, to me, baseball starts when it's June and it really starts to matter in August and September. Which is the 2 months that the Phillies slack off in, the dog days of the summer, like they like to call them.
Yeah.
I would say I did not expect, and this is why I agree with you, with Rob Thompson's manager, could be manager of the year. Still a little too early for me to call, but is how great Jesus Luzardo's look. And you're 100% right. Zach Lowe has been robbed multiple times of a Cy Young. And that's just not the Phillies fan in me. The little bit of fandom I have left in me still, because Dom, you know how I feel. This team disappoints me every year. All right, I don't got to go bring up the Motor Philly Sports Talk Show past, but I think I remember sitting on the same exact platform losing my absolute mind because of the team. But I will say, if you could find yourself a third, and I don't know how good Rangers were yesterday.
He pitched very well yesterday.
Because whenever the Philly
strikeouts.
How many strikeouts?
Eight.
So here's my thing. If you could get consistency and from Ranger Suarez, right, coming off a major injury too, by the way, I meant to say, but if you can get consistency from Ranger Suarez, if you could get and keep improving Jesus Luzardo, because I'm going to be honest, when he gave up the three home runs and Rob Thompson was on ESPN's broadcast, I hated that moment for Rob. I really did. Or whoever's broadcast it was. I hated that only because – it was, damn, that's three in a row. But he's came back. That was spring training. I calmed down a little bit, Dom. I will have to admit. The real question is, what did you do with Aaron Nola? You paid him.
Yeah, I mean, he's injured right now, and he's going to have to, work his way back. So, we'll see what he looks like when he comes back.
Here's the thing. Would you bring him back?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think so?
Absolutely.
I know. I'm gonna ask. I know some Phillies fans were done with him.
I don't know what else there is to do. The biggest thing of the deadline is going to be the bullpen. I'll say this as well. That
are you buying or selling at the deadline too? By the way,
what's that?
Are you buying or are you selling at the deadline?
You're buying 100%. You're buying 100%. The other thing I'll say with this team is that they have. The last week has been great, but we have to see what they look like against, at this point in the year, teams that are in or are going to be in the hunt. The Rockies are the worst team in the majors. The A's haven't panned out like I thought they would so far.
They're doing better than last year.
No, they are. I thought that was a team that, depending on development, would have guys that could maybe give you a push at an outside to have an outside chance of making the postseason. So, they have, but that hasn't materialized yet. I personally think that this stretch where you have the Braves and the Brewers, teams like that. Is really going to test you.
Those teams a lot.
Yeah. Because look, I don't think this Braves team is great, but they're going to be in the conversation at the very least.
For sure. And just real quick, I have a quick question. One, the Phillies are home for what? The next five games? A long homestand or a long. You have to. So you win last night, correct?
Yep.
What is at the end of this homestand, what do you expect the Phillies record to be at the end of this homestand? I see them dropping two. I see them potentially win them all, but let me be real. Listen, I'm a realistic Phillies fan. I guess we crucified a lot because I'm not afraid to call out when we're going to lose, but I just want to ask, what do you think of homestand? And then I have one more question I think for you.
So I think they So let's see. Yeah, out of the you have one of the six. You're 1-0 out of the. Oh my goodness!
It was a long night. You went on the start. You're good. I got you.
So they're 1-0 with five left on the stand. I would say they maybe lose two. I think they win both series, but I think they lose one to the Braves, and I think they lose one to the Brewers. But I think that this is a point in the year where I think we see their best baseball coming up. They go after this, they go to Toronto. I think they'll have success there. Then they go back, out to Pittsburgh where, Pittsburgh didn't play well here. I don't expect it to be any different out there.
It's going to be a toss up. Because that's how a series like them always goes.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like a trap series. But I think this baseball team is still in first place in the National League East come the end of this weekend.
I agree with you. I think the Braves are still trying to find their way back, even though they started the season up horribly. They got Ronald Acuña Jr. back. Great to see him back.
For sure.
The game is better when he's playing, for sure. My last question for you with baseball, Dom. NL pick, AL MVP pick. Way too early production. Give me one. Who you rocking with? Who you
For my NL MVP, I would probably go. Jeez, yeah, it is really early. I think I said it on the radio show, but I had Bryce Harper, I have Bryce Harper winning National League MVP this year. You know, the way it's looking right now, I'm probably going to be wrong there. I really like Fernando Tatis as NL MVP for now. That, you know, could certainly change, but I think this Padres team, I mean, look, the Padres took the
West in general.
Yeah. They put the Dodgers on the ropes last year, for a little bit. And I'm going to go Tatis. AL, I would go Bobby Witt Jr.
So I'm stuck because, you know, I'm a big Mookie Betts guy. That's not the best player on the team right now. Fernando Tatis is playing out of his mind, but I'm rocking with Shohei Ohtani, the obvious pick. The man is on an absolute tear of the baseball. I know he hit a homer yesterday or the other day. I should have put a bet down, Dom. I looked at it. I didn't do it. I looked at it. It was like Shohei Ohtani plus 200. And I was like, I should put $5 down and make 24. No, I didn't do it. I went against myself, and I'm kicking myself. I'm going to bet on the Knicks, and that didn't go well for me either. But that's besides the point. My betting failure, don't want to talk about it. But here's the thing. I was on the Tully Tailgate. Great podcast. You guys should go check them out on YouTube. Tully Tailgate. Two of my good friends, CJ Tully, Ryan, and Ryan Tully host that. Great guys. So make sure you guys go check them out. When I was on the radio show, Dom, I said my NL MVP was originally going to be Ellie De La Cruz. And I'm switching that just because it's not like he's off to a miserable start, but the Reds are the Reds. They're not playing terrible baseball. They're not playing great baseball.
Yeah, I mean, that division to me is still wide open. I know the Cubs have started to separate themselves a little bit. But I'll tell you what, any team that's managed by Terry Francona, you can't count out. There's a lot of young talent on that Reds team.
One of my favorite managers outside of Aaron Boone, which leads me to my AL MVP pick. I love the Bobby Witt Jr. idea, but there's a man in right field in New York who's
it's
like
hard six. To go against him.
It's hard to go against him, and he really should have three MVPs. Altuve banged his way into one, but we're not going to talk about that. Dom, I'm rocking with Aaron Judge. He's doing it again. And if this was where it was earlier, I'm rocking with Bobby Witt. But Judge, all rise if he stays consistent and he does. His average is up. That's what's scary this year. It's his average is up. That's who I'm rocking with. I'm rocking with Ohtani and Judge. I know there's some like cop outs. If you want me to go with my original two picks, I will. Original two picks is Ellie De La Cruz and Bobby Witt, but those are my new go-tos on this program. Dom, we got to get our third when he gets a chance to get on here, his thoughts, because this is Forte. Real quick, to the NHL world right now before we end up on out of here. The NHL playoffs, Dom, the other day, the Hurricanes finally win an Eastern Conference game. They finally win one as they're still down 3-1 to the Panthers, and tonight tonight the Oilers, Connor McDavid. You all know the nickname, how I feel about him, guys. We're hockey casuals. We're just talking about the sports on the scratchy tip surface. But the Stars.
Wait, they play tonight?
Tomorrow.
I was gonna say yeah, because I had SportsCenter on late last night, and they were talking.
You know what? You know what? You're right. East and West. You're right. That's me. That's my fault.
I wasn't tripping.
Well, that Panthers game is tonight. They won the game, guys. Dog, guess what? They finally won a game in the Eastern Conference for the first time in 19 years, and they're still down 3. That game tonight, ladies and gentlemen, goes at 8 o'clock. Dom, I'm picking the Panthers just because it makes it easier. But the other interesting side is the West. The Oilers and Stars are a rematch of last year's playoff series. The Oilers are up 3-1. Connor McDavid, Draisaitl, Skinner and company. It's going to be a repeat of the Stanley Cup last year, Dom. That's what I'm going with.
I agree.
Sides, and I have Connor McDavid getting it done. Now, but listen, for those who don't know hockey, and I'm not going to say it like I know it, Dom.
I don't know much about it.
I'm going to say though, in the words of Pat McAfee, and the way how they talk about him, they paint Connor McDavid like this, Dom. They paint this man like it is, and everybody else is right here. I think it'll be great for the sport of hockey. He came back from 3-0 last year just to fall short. Try that one, LeBron. 3-0. and he came back and fell short in game 7 by a goal. So, Dom, I'm rocking with the Oilers to clinch tomorrow and the Panthers to clinch tonight. And I'm going Oilers with 6. Let's rewrite history this time.
Yeah, I'm going Edmonton as well.
Dude, it's only the right. That's the best player of all of hockey. I don't know how you just shy past it. I don't know how he wins. Also, the Indy 500 concluded this past weekend. A brother named Alex, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but congratulations, Alex. He won the Indy 500. Also, Dom, I don't know if this happened when we was on live last time or not, but if not, I want to talk about it here. If it was, we'll talk about it. The Colts lost their owner, Jim Irsay. I think that came out after. The Colts lost Jim Irsay. He passed away. I think it was Wednesday night. I believe Wednesday, Thursday night. And, Jim Irsay was one of the owners. It looked like he had a lot of great personality. I never got a chance to meet the guy, but I would say from what I heard about from the Pat McAfee show and from the stories around, it sounded like Jim Irsay was a person you need to have in your circle, in your corner. So I want to send all my thoughts and prayers to the Irsay family and friends and anyone that, played for him or played with him or, did anything around him. Great guy.
And, no, great and owner. Great owner. You go back to the early to mid-2000s when the Colts were the class of the AFC right behind New England. He had aside from Peyton and Tony Dungy, he had a lot to do with that. That franchise has been a model of consistency for a long time, a long time in this league, most of this century. It's certainly sad to see him go.
Sad to see him go and really unexpected. Still a young man. A lot of life to live, but just wanted to put that out there because I don't think we got a chance to touch on it last time. But, rest in peace to Jim Irsay. And to end off the pod, Dom, for those who don't know, we end the pod off with a little, maybe a little debate, not really, just kind of let's see where we are. We done so far, we did basketball, we did football, we could do baseball today if you want, or are we going to go with the original idea? What you thinking? So we go baseball today.
Yeah, now let's go with the original.
So, all right. So the original was your top 5. Are we doing movies or TV shows? Or we just listen to, do you want to do movies or TV shows?
It's up to you.
We'll do TV shows, top 5. We'll do movies next time. You're giving your top 5 TV shows. Doesn't matter. You could do an honorable mention because I watch a lot of TV. So if you want to. Okay.
So is it top 5 that I watch? Or, I mean, that was kind of a dumb question, but like, What's my criteria for top 5?
It could be top 5 that you watch. It could be top 5 that you enjoy. People enjoy. I don't have a list of shows.
Yeah. I'll go top 5 I watch because I watch. I'm not the TV fanatic that I once was.
Hey, you can switch to the movies. Like, I know you watch movies more.
No, I'm good with TV. Right. So, my number 5, I will go with. My top 5 shows to watch. So, number 5, I'm going to go with Family Guy.
Yep.
Number 4 for me would be The Simpsons.
Yep.
So like, you know, you got to have some animation on there. And then my top three are, and these I think would be on, I think some combination of these three would be on most people's top five. Number three for me would be Stranger Things. I mean, I know that's streaming, but I mean, that's kind of taken over, and we're actually 3 days away from the trailer for the final season dropping, which I'm really excited about, because the word on the street is like each episode is going to be like a movie. So you're talking about like 2 hour episodes.
Damn.
Yeah. And I mean, it's such a well-written show. Like a lot of people that grew up in the 80s love it because it brings them back to their childhood. There's a lot of good storylines. It's very well cultured. So I would go there. Number three, number two, I'd go Seinfeld.
Can't go wrong with Seinfeld.
Number two, you can't go wrong with Seinfeld. It has the right blend of everything, in my opinion. But then there's a show that's number one for me that does this even better than Seinfeld, and that's The Office, which is the show I grew up on. Like a lot of people our age, I think, discovered it through, and like I'm proud to say this, there's a lot of people are in like our generation that discovered it when it was on Netflix and such. I actually used to watch it with my parents when I was a little kid. Like, and because it started.
Shows are good though.
What?
That's when shows are good though.
No, for sure. Like, it's weird because like I watched it when it was actually on NBC and like the primetime spot through, I want to say, sixth grade. And then I kind of fell out of love with it. They did the last season when I was in high school, and like I just didn't keep up. But then I rediscovered it when I was a freshman at LaSalle in my dorm. I would watch it to like go to sleep. But like I'm proud to say that I watched like all the early seasons when it was actually on television. Honorable mentions for me, I'd go Friends. Friends is. Like every once in a while I get on a kick where I binge Friends. And then another honorable, actually I have two more honorable mentions. One is currently running, Abbott Elementary. This season, I know you probably.
Hey,
I'm not going to spoil anything.
It was on Max. I didn't get there yet.
This season wasn't as good in my opinion. It wasn't as good. So I'm hoping it bounces back next year. I haven't looked at like the ratings or anything, so I don't know if the numbers back me up on that. I personally was kind of underwhelmed.
Numbers when I'm watching this, I think to me, if you like it, you like it. You don't.
No, like, I like the show. Like I'm just saying, like I wasn't impressed with it with this past season. But you know, that's like the local, like that's the national Philadelphia show. So you got to watch it. It's Always Sunny still it's Always Sunny still running?
I don't know.
I could never get into that.
You got as Pat because Pat was watching it.
I could never get into that. I could never get into that. But then my last honorable mention, and then Gav, like you know, this is a show that is like near and dear to me, is The Good Doctor. I really don't like hospital show. Like, I'm not the general hospital.
I'm surprised to make your list.
I'm like, dude, because like, I watch, like, it's weird. Like, at this time last year, I watched that every night. And it actually, the last season was last year. It's a great show. I'm not a hospital show person. Like, I don't watch General Hospital. I don't watch Grey's Anatomy or any of those other shows. Although I hear St. Dennis Medical is pretty funny. Maybe I'll check that out someday.
Remember Rip Van Society?
I actually watched, like, that was another one for the 13 episodes it had. I watched every yeah. I was a junior in high school.
Let me tell you, my mom said this, so she said, I should never let you watch that one episode when the kid used his leg as press his leg.
But yeah, that long story short, that's my top five, and those are my honorable mentions. What about you?
He uses leg as a golf club.
I remember that. Oh,
You know what's happening?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man. My mom was like, because I thought that idea. But that was a great top five. I ain't going to lie. I thought the good doctor was going to make it up there. I'm going to just get my honorable mention out the way. You had three. I got three. The Pat McAfee show is an honorable mention to me because I watch it every day. Literally, I'm about to go eat lunch after this and go check it out. Another honorable mention is Me, My Wife, and Kids.
That was a good show.
That was a great show. And another honorable mention is I would put Family Guy in there. Kind of the same thing you said with The Office is with me with Family Guy. I kind of grew up when Disney took over, and that's when I was able to start to really watch it, and that's when it became unfunny. So I had to watch old episodes, but some of the new stuff is kind of good. I haven't checked it out too much. But in my top five, guys, you need to watch some of these Johns. I'm about to tell you. At number five, I'm going to put Martin. I love Martin.
Martin's a classic.
And when I say number five, guys, please don't. I'm not saying that this is like my fifth favorite. No, I'm saying these are just in my top five. There's no, like, I figured this is the same way with you, Dom. There's no real, like, just because you call it five doesn't make it five, right? Yeah. Martin's in my top five. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is in my top five. Classic. Family Matters is in there. I would say, what is that? That's four? Three, four?
Yeah, you got three.
Three. I would say that The Chi, if you ever heard of The Chi.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
The Chi is up there. The new season just kicked off too, Don, by the way. So I'm missing.
I was see that. Yeah, this is why I'm glad we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
I got into that during the pandemic.
It's good. It's slow, but it's good, though. It's good. Really good. And then I know this franchise has a whole bunch of different routes. So when I say this, just know I'm talking about all the series. Power. I love Power.
Yeah, Power's great.
I love Power, whether it's Kanan, whether it's Tariq's, whether it's the original. Tommy, I'm a little on, but it got better at the end to me. I'm actually kind of pissed off. I was watching Kanan this past weekend, and it ended on a cliffhanger. So now I got to wait. I got to wait like 7 months, man.
Speaking of shows along those lines, though, I'll tell you what else is really good. Snowfall.
Snowfall was pretty good, too. Yes.
Snowfall was pretty good.
Snowfall was good. Yo, that's in my honorable mentions.
Okay. Oh, wow. I segued to it.
I ain't going to lie. That's a part of my honorable mentions, too. Only because I didn't like how it ended. I'm going to just say Snowfall ended a little bit. Oh, and Ozark's pretty good, too. If you've never seen Ozark.
Oh, Ozark's awesome.
Ozark's
one of my dad's favorites.
And what, dude, Marty Berry. Yeah. Everybody knows Marty Berry. But I will say, Dom, to General Hassel's point, this is always going to be one of my favorite soap operas ever because that is something that me, my nanny, and my mama all used to watch together when I was growing up. So I would come home from school, and I'll be watching what Sonny Corinthos and company be doing. And then they need to kick off Dan Stephen A because I don't want to see bricks come through my screen every once in a while. He was on, matter of fact, all right, last thing that we're going to end. Stephen A was on Law and Order, right?
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know why I laugh at that. And Lamar Jackson showed up in Power too. So I'm not gonna spoil it, but Lamar Jackson showed up in Power. It's funny when you see like people who are really famous for what they really do show up on like these TV shows acting out, and then like they either end up dead or something happens to them, or they do something out of the ordinary. You're like, oh, it's hard to look at you like this now. But with that being said, y'all, we hope you enjoyed this. We just did an hour straight of sports. We wanted to, you know, just talk about a little something different. Next time, maybe we might get a little bit of music because this guy over here listens to a lot of music.
I do.
And I'm interested to see who's in his top five. Or maybe, you know what I mean? Or maybe we'll maybe get a little more debate. We'll talk about, we'll get a list of artists and we'll play who needs to go, who needs to stay.
Oh, so I love that.
We'll do something, but we'll get a little more arguments. I think people want to see us argue. with that being said, Dom, another great pod. Hopefully, we can get Pat here on the next one as well. With that being said, man, make sure you rate us a 5-star on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that the Kickback Pod is going strong. Enjoy game 5 tonight for the Thunder, and enjoy game 5 of the Eastern Stanley Cup playoffs as well. We probably are expecting both series to end today on respective sports. Enjoy game six, or excuse me, enjoy game five of the Knicks tomorrow as well. I think they're back on tomorrow. Enjoy that tomorrow, and we will catch you guys next time. If both series go the way we do think, maybe you'll see us Friday. If not, we'll probably get one in starting the finals week. But with that being said, y'all, I'm Gavin. That's Dom. Just the Kickback Pod. Rest of 5-star Apple Pod. Share it for everybody, and we'll see you guys next time. Peace.